Well, the last 3 weeks, Pastor Rich was going through prayer in the series of the basic doctrines of the church. At the time, I didn't know where he was going or going to finish. And I know there was one more point in that, but God has led me to a different way 7 months ago. And so I've titled the message today, Is It Good Enough? Will going to church be good enough to get me to heaven someday? How about being involved in church activities? How about trying to be a good person? Will that get me to heaven someday? I'll tell you a little bit about my life. I was born May 11th at 11:58 p.m. on my grandfather's birthday. Hence, my first name, Daniel, is the same as his. In those days, the mothers were told to stay in bed for 10 days after childbirth. On the 11th day, when I was taken outside for the first time, it was to church. We were in church and Sunday school every Sunday, unless one of us four kids was sick. Then mom would stay home to take care of the sick one. You see, my dad was the janitor, church treasurer, Sunday school teacher. He led the services. He was a deacon, which is the equivalent of an elder in this church. And he sometimes preached. In the wintertime, he got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go up and stoke up the furnace so it would be warm for church Sunday morning. And then he would come home and get us, and we were back at church at least a half hour before the services started. When I was old enough to sit, I was placed between mom and dad on the pew. My early recollection was that dad would tap my leg if I moved around too much. I wasn't given anything to keep me busy like the activity packet that we have today. I had to sit and listen. By the time I was 12, I had perfect attendance in Sunday school for 6 years. And the years I didn't have perfect attendance, I only missed one or two Sundays. At age 12, I was baptized. And at 17, when I graduated from high school, I began teaching Sunday school and later was named choir director. How little did I know about music at that time? I was the youngest person in the church to serve as a trustee, which is the equivalent of a deacon in this church. In 1959, my younger sister, who was a junior in high school, and some of her friends wanted to have a Bible quiz team to compete at Pottsville Youth for Christ rallies against teens from other area schools. But they needed somebody out of high school to be their coach, so they drafted me. In those days, the YFC ministry was Saturday night rallies and some high school Bible clubs. Those kids that were on quiz teams memorized 30 chapters of the Bible in a year, and they quizzed on a chapter each week. Our team won the championship, and then it was off to the Eastern Area YFC Conference in Ocean City, New Jersey, in June of 1960, with the 7 best quizzers from Lebanon County to compete against the best from more than 30 other rallies. And I had the privilege of serving as the assistant coach. We lost in the quarterfinals to the champions by one question. That fall, my sister and I got involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship, and we of Schuylkill County, and we held 3 Good News Clubs each week. Plus, we made time for quiz practice 4 or 5 evenings a week. In Good News Club, we were taught a Bible verse to the children. We taught a Bible verse to the children. And the one verse that had the greatest impact on my life was Psalm 37:5. And I know we use the NIV version around here, but I learned it in the King James Version, and here's what it says. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. I took that verse as my life verse, and I tried to live by it. Later in that year, I was appointed to the Youth for Christ Board of Directors. And the first date with my future wife was to go to Hazleton to purchase a typewriter to be used by both YFC and CEF. I was appointed chairman of the committee, and because she was the assistant director of CEF and treasurer of Youth for Christ, she was appointed to the board. And I insisted we needed another person. And Ruth Schwenk, who was the director of both organizations, said, when are you going to take the hint? And so that was my first date with her. And of course, when Ruth Schwenk also went out holding evangelistic meetings, she would ask me to substitute in leading the YFC High School Bible Clubs, and even I did some Good News Clubs for her because everybody used the same lesson the same week of club. So I was able to fill in. In addition, we were even involved in starting, because we bought that typewriter, which had a 15-inch carriage on it. We could make stencils, so we started a monthly newsletter for YFC. And besides all that, in addition, there was our local church's weekly Thursday evening prayer meeting, which I occasionally led, or participating in the YFC jail ministry, which also was held Thursday evening. And so it was a busy life for the Lord while working 5 days a week as an apprentice printer. After my apprenticeship, I was drafted into the Army and was a chaplain's assistant. In that position, I was his office administrator, his chauffeur, his bodyguard, his helper in classes he gave, and assisted with the church services he conducted. So, it was a busy time. Upon discharge from the Army, I got a job in Scranton, where my future wife didn't care to live. 50 years ago, last August the 1st, we were married after dating 3.5 years. Of course, a year and a half later, when she was satisfied to live in the Scranton area, and we were looking for property to buy. During our devotional time, we prayed for God to show us a place. And that's why "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah" means a lot to me. The next day after we prayed, the mechanical superintendent of the Lebanon Daily News wrote me a letter offering me a job. My parents received the letter the following day, and brought it to us. We knew this was the answer to our prayer because Sunday night we made the decision that yes, we would look into this job. Exactly 2 weeks later, I started working at the Daily News. When I called the mechanical superintendent about the job, he just encouraged me to come there, and I knew this was God's leading. So, yes, in 1 month's time, exactly 1 month, we purchased a house under construction in Palmyra and eventually moved to Palmyra. And I got involved in the church teaching Sunday school and even leading the services. And when we moved to a larger building, I was appointed audiovisual coordinator, a position I had for 22 years. And every year they used to hold a lady seminar and bring in some pretty well-known speakers. And for 30 years, one person had perfect attendance. Me. You see, I was the guy that took care of the sound system and did the recording and eventually even videotaped it. And then I gave it up when my wife was really sick and she died in the year 2000. And I got connected with many of you when Arlene and I got married in 2002. Wow! With all that serving the Lord, should that get me to heaven? Huh? What'd you think? Well, Jesus told some people who said, "Lord, we did so many things in your name, I never knew you." Take your Bibles and look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Everybody got it? Let's look at verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" I neglected to tell you of two important events that happened in my life. The first and most important occurred April the 7th, 1950. That's when I heard a message on the coming of the Lord. And at 11 years old, for the first time I realized the way to heaven is not of good works or attending church, but the way to heaven is receiving the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior. And that was a Sunday evening service. And although I didn't make a decision during the service, I went home and went to bed. And after sleeping a short time, I awakened and checked if my parents were in bed or if the rapture occurred. I didn't want to be left on this earth and not have the Lord Jesus as Savior. I immediately went back to my room and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. This was the most important one because I became a child of God when I received Jesus Christ as Savior. The second date was June the 25th, 1960, after a 6 a.m. quiz practice in a hotel lobby in Ocean City, New Jersey. I dedicated my life to the Lord and asked Him to use me in whatever way He wanted. He opened doors of ministry that I never expected. Actually, that was the high point of a series of events, but it was amazing how the events all occurred. And it all started with my sister recruiting me for quiz coach, because I started attending the Saturday night YFC rallies. And on Christmas Eve, 1959, people who attended the rallies traveled around Schuylkill County Christmas caroling. In fact, we were out from 7 in the evening until midnight. And then we went to the director's house for some refreshments. And we left there at 1:30 in the morning. And on the way home with 5 teens in the car, I was getting extremely tired. But instead of stopping the car and going outside getting some air, I thought, oh, I can make it home another half mile to the house where two of the kids lived. So I'm driving up, if anybody knows where Gilberton is in Schuylkill County, I was driving up the hill going toward the little village of Turkey Run, and the road was caving in on the right side of the highway. And I'm driving up, and I got past the point and relaxed and fell asleep. And I was heading right into an embankment, and a car came around the turn. Its lights hit me in the eyes, and I woke just enough. I turned, I thought it was coming right at me, and I turned to the right and went right over the top of a drainage ditch and damaged the car. I wrecked the family car. I didn't make it up. And we were only about, I'd say, a little over 100 yards from the house where the two kids lived. And I had to go around the turn. Seems like that's what's been happening. Later, the day I went to Ocean City, I received a letter from PennDOT informing me my driver's license would be suspended for 15 days because of the accident. But I didn't have to send in my license until I returned from Ocean City. It is because of what happened April the 7th, 1950, that I know why I will get to heaven someday, because I received Jesus Christ as Savior. There were many changes 10 years later when I dedicated my life to serving the Lord. That meant committing everything to Him. Psalm 37:5, again, as I took that as my life verse, and it had new, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. And as I committed everything to the Lord, it was amazing how He led our family. Again, have you thought that going to church is what's going to get you to heaven? I heard many of you say no. I'm looking forward to being in heaven someday because I received Jesus Christ as Savior. It is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of the Bible verses and see. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you turn back a little bit to John 3:16. In fact, the first verse, if you pick up a Gideon Bible, you'll find it in many different languages. I'm not sure how many languages there are there, but there's quite a few. John 3:16 to 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." In Romans 5:8, we find God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And look at Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Reading on in verse 11. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's it. That's it. Call on the name of the Lord. That's it. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, he wrote, "What I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." So Christ died for our sins. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, we read, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us." Grace is God's kindness, his unmerited favor, and his forgiving love. When you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, doing good works is the natural way to please God. He will have rewards for you when you get to heaven. John wrote in 1 John chapter 1. Let's turn to that beginning at verse 5. 1 John chapter 1. And he wrote, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. And John continues in chapter 2 of 1 John, I write to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You know, some people say there are many ways to heaven. But Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The Bible is emphatic that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. In Acts 2:21 we have, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So you have to call on the Lord. And finally, John 14, 1-6, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, well, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Remember, going to church will not save you. Doing things in God's name will not save you. Neither will being a good person save you. It is by trust in God. It is that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, verses I mentioned earlier, Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And finally, in 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. It's up to you what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have him as your Savior? Think about it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for salvation through Lord Jesus. We thank you for the personal relationship we have. And Lord, we pray even right now that if there's anyone in here who has never made such a commitment to Lord Jesus and received him as Savior, that today may be the salvation, and they might open their hearts and lives to Him. May Your will be done in each life. And thank You, Lord, for what You have done in this life and all of the blessings that we have received. In Jesus' name, amen.